of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is the first monthly meeting of July. Today's date, July 13th. And do we have an approval of the agenda? Any changes to the agenda?
Executive session on litigation.
And any decisions on that?
No decisions, and probably not to exceed 10 minutes.
10 minutes, okay. Any other changes to the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Consent agenda? Has everybody had a chance to read through?
Yep.
Consent agenda?
Yep. I move we approve the consent agenda.
I second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Anybody from the public? George?
Yeah. Last night I was in quilting for the FEMA flood mapping and workshop, or open house, I should say. And it got me to thinking that, well, first of all, they identified all this area as in the floodway and surge zones and things like that. And the question that I have is that, do you folks carry insurance, flood insurance? And if so, is that passed on to your customers? You don't have to answer that now, but it's just a question that I thought about would be very interesting.
Do we have an immediate answer?
I believe we do, but I need to check the policies specifically.
Okay. Any other comments not related to the agenda? Like to recognize, is it Libby?
Libby Wenstrom.
Libby Wenstrom from The Leader is attending her first report meeting.
Well, welcome. At least my first one as a leader
reporter. As a leader reporter, there you go, right. Welcome. All right, let's see, moving on to second reading. Nothing on the agenda. Moving right on to first reading, Johnson Fabrication lease.
So just very briefly, this is a first reading on a lease concerning space in a building that is unfortunately and somewhat clumsily referred to as the CNS Law Johnson Building, I think more commonly known previously as the JNS Building. This space is on the northeasternmost corner of that building. It has been leased by Mr. Johnson, who owns Johnson Fabrication LLC. He does composite work primarily for the last year. It's about 750 square feet. It's the only portion of this structure that has not had a roof replacement. And as was discussed during the workshop session this morning, in our draft capital repair and replacement plan late last year, it was identified as being in urgent need of roof repairs. It's leaking in the rainy season. Both the covering as well as the trusses are deteriorating. That said, we have assurances from Harold Anderson, who is the port's current part-time temporary engineer who helped us with the draft capital plan. He has indicated that at least for the proposed duration of the lease, it's his professional opinion that it is structurally sound, even though it's not an ideal situation. So we have crafted this lease as a five-year lease with no options to renew. That's because of the condition, and have also continued the current differential lease rate that he has under the current one-year term lease. It is likely to, or will expire on July 31st, which is 41 cents a square foot as opposed to the typical 67 cents a square foot for space in this area. If it had a new roof or a substantially renovated roof, that would be the per square foot cost. So the rent for the premises has been crafted so that it would be 41 cents until and unless the port renovated that roof, at which time it would go to 67 cents a square foot to measure with other properties in the area. We also have included language within paragraph 12, subsection C, that would permit the port on consultation with the structural engineer to early terminate the lease on 120 days notice if we determine during this lease term that there was a life safety issue that required us to early terminate. That's not our opinion right now, but we reserve that authority and ability to do that just to address every potential eventuality. So it's our recommendation that that this lease be approved on the terms and conditions outlined. We've included a standard hazardous substances warranty and agreement that we include with all of our leases with tenants who use potentially hazardous materials. And I'd be happy to answer any questions
you might have. I went over and looked at the structure again before lunch. Talked with Lance, met with him over there. Johnson, Mr. Johnson wasn't there, but I don't quite understand why the repair of this such a small roof area is considered to be such a large project, $163,000. I mean, I can clearly see it's a really poor design, mm-hmm. not well thought out at yep. all, you know, building in such a large gutter such as they did. But my question, is there an option B to perform a reasonable repair that's gonna, you know, get another 10 years out of the structure that doesn't necessarily have to change? I mean, even though mm-hmm. it's clearly not designed properly, but to make it reasonably safe and, you know, and get the appropriate rate fee.
Yeah, Harold Anderson, Larry Ozzie, our maintenance supervisor, and I have had that conversation, and it's been sort of a head scratcher because of the unfortunate nature of the current design. It basically channels the water. Basically, the roof is almost like an inverted gable.
Yeah.
So I would only suggest that if there is an avenue to more cost-effectively address the roof situation and achieve the market rent for the property, we would certainly seize upon that. Thus far, that option has not yet been identified.
Okay.
So have we asked a roofing person to actually look at it? You know, someone that actually does roofs rather than an engineer that kind of does everything?
I haven't, and I don't know whether Larry also has. I know that they obviously had professional roofers out to do the remainder of the building, and I don't know whether the issue was raised with them at that time. I can certainly find the answer to that question. We'll come back to you at the subsequent meeting with an answer.
Yeah, let's do a little bit more homework on that and see if there's other options.
Okay.
Is there other property? Does this guy have to be at this location?
I don't know of any other spot that we have for him currently.
And he's already undertaken some tenant improvements, am I correct with that?
He did bathroom renovations,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so he's a little bit invested in that okay. spot.
By the way, when I was over there having a chat with Lance, he's the joining mm-hmm. part of the structure, he mentioned that the periodic stormwater overflow issues associated with that sump outside, that sump pump is running off their meter.
We've been made aware of that issue.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm.
Good on us.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so is there a motion to approve this lease?
Oh, this is the first reading.
Oh, yeah, this is the first reading. Any other discussion about this? So I'll move on to second reading. Draft budget schedule.
So the schedule is not unlike last year's schedule. There's a couple typos I've already found, and the first one says draft 2016-2017, and then the last two dates, November 9th and November 30th, should be the 16th. Otherwise, there's also a change to September 7th. I've already confirmed with the county assessor that they'll be able to attend that session to go over the property taxes that we should budget for 2017.
I gotta get copies.
It's the last page.
Which, there it is, got it.
So September 7th, the county assessor will be attending that workshop.
Okay.
And then there's just a couple of typos with the dates, which will fix. But otherwise, it's essentially the same as last year's schedule.
We'll note that on the August 10th meeting, which will be an opportunity for us to discuss the various tools, we have invited Cynthia Lee to that meeting, and she's confirmed as being able to attend. As well as we have invited, we're going to meet with the county treasurer and assessor ahead of time, just for some technical education, and they may or may not attend that workshop, but they've been invited.
I think I should go out and move those barrels.
Oh man, it's bad.
The what?
I think these barrels outside the door here are fumigating the property. They came from somewhere.
They're moving them. Maintenance is taking care of them. So did you call them?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I don't know what that was.
Can I like just go slide them 100 yards out?
It's serious. It's.
Hang tight, everybody. I'll be right back.
It's no problem over here.
It will encourage efficient use of time. I'd go out home and they'd probably be accused of having a private meeting outside or something.
Are they full of fish guts or something?
Yeah, dead shells or.
They were, yeah.
Oh, shrimp heads. And I don't, there's not a commercial shrimping out there, but the totes were left after the last commercial crabbing Indian opening.
Uh-huh.
Don't know who they belonged to, but they were at least left empty. Someone who was out shrimping saw them and thought, wow, a garbage can.
Fabulous.
So we probably need to not let things like that, like I noticed that there was a shopping cart there for a while. If, given the opportunity, if it looks like a garbage can, it'll become one.
Yeah, as soon as I noticed it, I asked maintenance to take care of it.
So, Doc Pete's back. I have a question about, on your schedule, the 15th through the 18th, individual work sessions with department managers. Mm-hmm. Could you, Sam, I'd like to hear your thoughts on that and what that means.
That's a time for us to then, as we have discussions with the commission, and we're hearing some of your questions and your directions you'd like us to go. So to go back in and really get into much more detail with the department heads, both from what the projected expenses would be, but I'm already tasking the managers right now to look at potential revenue generators, etc. So it's created a feedback loop. So it's it's not just Abigail and I in a room. We're really trying to.
So this process has started already?
Not really for next year's budgeting yet. No, not really.
Okay, but I thought you just said you had reached out.
Well, we had one conversation.
Yeah, we had one conversation, and we're more looking at. I'm trying to assess the depth of understanding of the budget in the organization, and do the various line leads and supervisors, do they really have their arms wrapped around their budget? How far does that go down into their direct reports?
I'd like to speak to that a little bit, because it was a difficult thing for me in the past few years in recognizing that hasn't been done,
mm-hmm.
and that they didn't have a clear understanding of the budget, nor were they included in the budget process mm-hmm. to any reasonable degree.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel strongly that they should be. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm asking the questions I'm asking.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's a process. It's a learning process.
Sure,
it's
and
not
of course
gonna happen
it is.
In 1 year as far as them knowing instantly how to manage their budgets, but I really like Sam's idea of pushing down that kind of responsibility to understand their budgets, their expenditures, and their
great.
Which
yeah.
I had talked about last year, but I said, it's an education process.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and again, at this point, it's I'm still assessing. Certainly, there is varying degrees of budget understanding and budget monitoring. And, but I really, you know, my ideal goal is that really everyone in the organization understands what their daily activities, how they relate to the budget and what kind of impact they do. And to really, I've spoken several times to staff about the power of when you have target goals, and it really can help bring a team together, and it can, you know, really affect how they do their operations. So don't quite have those in place yet, but that's part of what I need me to draw that out from the managers themselves. So very much a participatory process on staff end on this. So
great, thank you.
Yeah, that's really nice, because I remember the last time I was disappointed when we asked Abigail, how much input did you get from your managers? And it was a pretty
none.
Yeah, it's very deep.
So that's being looked at way ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Well, and for their part, I think a lot of it was like the education piece and also not getting sufficient detail. Like, they approve their invoices most times, but they don't necessarily understand how that affects their budget. So it's kind of putting it all together.
Yep. Really creating those ongoing monitoring systems. And already, I would tell you, you know, we just got email this morning of people were thinking like, well, if we did this, we could create this revenue. And, you know, they're not, you know, complete world changers, but, you know, you add up all those other stuff to see efficiencies and see changes in the bottom line. So, yeah.
Good.
People are pretty, they're very receptive and eager to jump into the process.
All right. Anything else on this?
Nope.
I will, given our conversation this morning, I think it would, whether we put this as part of this formal budget adoption process, but we talked about having a tour of capital projects, make that we can put that in, or we can just notice it separately. You know, I think that I think it'd be nice to have it as part of the budget schedule, just so people see it there. And thoughts on when we might do that? Because I'm thinking ahead of like August is just a tough time. I mean, so many people are out of town and going on vacation, but then we get into school and we get kind of a little late in the budget process. So what are thoughts on when we might have a tour of capital projects?
I'm not going anywhere.
Neither am I.
I mean, August would be fine for me.
I think it would be good to get it done before the 10th, mm-hmm. with discussion. I think that that would really add a lot to that
okay.
day if we had this
okay.
room.
All right.
And you're talking about the tour, like we discussed this morning.
Yes,
about
exactly.
The commissioners and staff, and
yep.
then open to the public.
Yep, yep. So we'll notice it as a public meeting, so we can all be
probably
together.
Special meeting, probably.
Yeah, special meeting. Yeah, exactly. And then we'll see what kind of, you know, listserv we'll do some advertising for it besides just our regular noticing, because I think there'll be a lot.
I'm not against the tour, but we can all individually go and look at one of these areas all by ourselves. We don't need anybody to hold our hand.
Yeah, that is true. We don't really need to do.
You know, we can all come up with our own questions, and, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so I, again, I'm not against the tour.
They would take three times as much staff time, though, if we all would say, I want to have a look at this, and I think, rah, rah, you know. We did it all the time.
I don't think so. I don't. I mean, I think they're pretty cut and dry. We all already know about the, you know, the jetty situation. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty clear. And we're going to pop up there and look at the sinkhole one of these days here soon. And you know, as far as walking the docks and looking at the other areas.
I think that one of the things that came to my mind is one is going out with you and seeing the jetty from the water. That was really, you know, a very educational vantage point to have there. And second is looking to the strategic plan and really seeing that call for, you know, wanting to have that kind of visceral look at the projects, and that specifically there's a request to have these type of tours. So We could do it and just have a kind of a public open house that wouldn't necessarily make it a meeting and have to have it be a special meeting. That's another direction that we could go, is just to have a open to the public and not necessarily have it be a commission meeting. So I see the real value in having other folks being able to go and look at it. So up to you whether or not you would like to make that an official commission meeting or whether or not you just go hold a walking open house or of some kind.
And would it be tier one or just what's the tour? Would it be tier one or?
I think, and probably just a selection of
tier one.
Yeah.
I think that what to me would make a little bit of sense would be, for example, taking a look at the shorelines. You know, everyone looks at it and see the trail's going away, but what options do we have? Somebody can have great ideas that I wouldn't even thought about or it's impacting, or, you know. And then another one is somebody could look at something like the asbestos and say, well, you know, this is just fine, it's the way it is. Mm-hmm. We don't need to do anything. There's nothing going to, you know, if you have to hire an expensive plumber, that's better than redoing the entire Point Hudson asbestos stuff. So there's lots of input that should be gained if we're all there and looking at the same thing from the same vantage point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I am with Brad that we don't have to spend a lot of time, I think, on any of these. We all have a pretty good understanding of what this list is. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would say I would not propose looking at the entirety of the first tier. I think that I would like to look at a subset of those and maybe kind of the ones that are most immediately on our plate. And that may take some careful winnowing down of that, but I think we can get to less than the full first tier. Okay, we'll come back with you with proposed schedule, and but if we are sitting here on the 13th, so we've got
myself.
I would just caution, seems to me, I mean, I don't know if there's anything you would want to work up to the 27th. You know, all we're doing is approving this schedule, the final on this schedule, so we could certainly tackle some other things in the next 2 weeks if we wanted to. I don't know if you've got time or...
Other things like what?
Well, I'm just saying there's room to move. You could actually move some of this up into that July 27th time slot if we wanted to move this quicker.
I
think we're pretty much saying the schedule's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You wanted to.
I think it's a matter of workflow management on our end. That we're not going to be ready earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Any other comments on that? All set. Part seven: the potential immediate action items. Doesn't look like we have any on that. Other business. All clear on that. And I just had something I thought of. I can't remember. I wasn't looking at this. Oh, I do have something under other business. What happened? There was a bunch of drilling that went on under Sims Way just recently.
Oh, yeah.
Off of our property, and it went underneath the highway there. Does anybody know what that was all about? I never saw anything about that.
A little bit.
You go.
PUD.
I know it was PUD.
Yeah, they needed to bore, and I don't know if the court gave them permission to do that. Sam, did you talk to Larry Ozzie on that?
My understanding.
No.
Well, it's unclear to me whether or not they actually were on court property or whether they stayed within the right of way.
The right of way comes over pretty close to the fence, my understanding.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
And then I had another business too. I was reading in the PDN this morning that Airport of Port Angeles got funding from the Port of Port Townsend. It was by FAA funding that we didn't utilize that we then gave to them along with forks.
Yes.
And so they're aware that now that if we need something that.
and as I've been made aware that there's within this FAA structure, they do it by regions, and so if they have monies that have not been expended, they look to other airports in the region and see if they have a project that's ready to go that they can spend it on. So Port Angeles has actually given us funds in the past, so it's been reciprocal, and it's this kind of area reciprocity that they do. I will tell you that I did insist upon a thank you card from them, and got a very nice call from the airport manager. They said that they were going to talk to present it at their commission meeting and note that we had done that. It seems to be a little bit of a set procedure of just, you know, looking at how do you keep the funds within the region to benefit the whole network.
Yeah, we benefited from some funds you might know better from Port.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, so, but they're gracious about it and sent us their thank you and appreciation. Yeah.
Staff comments.
Hey. Speaking of airports, I have been out to meet with Airport Tibbetts and met Tommy of Tailspin Tommy's. He happened to be in the building.
Oh,
with,
really? Tommy Wacker?
Yeah. And made my way around there. There's great old Air Force, like World War II vintage Air Force plane in there that he's working on. Is it Scott? It's Scott Erickson.
Yeah.
That he's working on. He also has a developed a little bit of a pilot's lounge there, you know, a little reception area where people can come in. And then we talked, I had not heard of the book, The $100 Hamburger, before. So he let me know that phenomenon. So, I got a chance to get out there. I also went to the boat launching, as I mentioned this morning, at Armstrong, and small little ceremony, the first of their standardized, I don't know if it's the first of their standardized line, the first of this specific boat that came off the line and went to the water. And first, want to congratulate or thank our yard staff that came in on Saturday so that they could have the ceremony on Saturday, and that was Chris and Sean.
So they launched it with a travel lift?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because I noticed it's on a trailer now.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have probably used the boat ramp, right? I guess.
I don't know. But they had put in with the lift and took people out. It's quite a fast boat, so I got to take a ride on it. They have indicated to me that they are already meeting their two-year benchmarks in their business plan, and they've been open 6 months. And they are looking to talk to us for additional lease space, and so it's good to see them really getting up and getting traction. And one of the things that I asked them, you know, how their tenancy was here, and they said that, you know, really our biggest challenge right now is employee parking. And I went, well, we can probably do something about that. So I'm gonna talk with staff and see if we can, you know, what ideas we might be able to come up with to be able to accommodate some parking. And some of them might be simple area things if we don't want, if we are prohibited or don't want to assign specific parking to them, we can at least have, you know, 24-hour parking or more assigned someplace else so that people aren't leaving their cars right in front of their building for a few days, which definitely happens. So we're looking at some other ideas we can do there. I've met with the Peninsula Trails Coalition as well, and they have been looking at potential other alternatives, including routing the trail back where the lumber yard used to be. Really believe that's not going to be a viable option for them.
So it's not going to be one?
It's not going to be a viable option. And that's not surprising to me. Kind of, I haven't been back in that area for a while, but I have worked in there, and it is very wet. So I think that they're gonna look at some different possibilities and pull them. We also need to look at the interlocal agreement that exists between the city and the county, and I'm not sure what the port's responsibilities are that of, I think we're a signatory to it. So told them we'll gather some people around the table in the latter part of this year, so probably Q4 to look at some options. But they are expecting to, you know, as they complete their trail, that this will be a fairly prominent trailhead for them. And as we discussed at our previous meeting, I think we have some safety and traffic direction considerations to put in place, be it through signage or other visual cues or separation, et cetera. But I think there's more than one way to crack this nut, and so we'll be taking a look at that later in the year.
So when you said this be a trailhead, you're talking about the trailhead that exists now being in
or over at the park and ride. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
the last time we spoke with them, they were really excited about moving into the park and ride. So
yes,
you could have parking and mm-hmm. things like that, which we really don't have.
And that is indeed the case. And so there's a couple things to address. You know, how do you get across Sims Way, et cetera. But none of these seem to be, you know, they're not insurmountable challenges at all. They just need getting the stakeholders around the table and figuring out what we're going to do. So how much of a role that the port actually plays in developing any of that, you know, I think more that we are in the position of, you know, helping be problem solvers and making sure that we are accommodating their use while not impacting our core businesses. So be looking to that. I think that's the book. I had CUD down here. We talked about that. I do have it on my list to see what type of surveying that they did or didn't do in that work. So I'll be following up on that. Okay.
Just a very brief point of information for you. You know, we've been contemplating for some time the possibility of agricultural uses being located out of the Jefferson County International Airport. Working on a particular draft letter of intent with Port Townsend Vineyards, we took a careful look at Jefferson County Code 1815-1110, which outlines permitted, conditional, and prohibited uses for the Jefferson County International Airport Essential Public Facility Zone. And as that chapter is currently crafted, it would appear not to permit agricultural uses, even if such uses are consistent with FAA advisory circulars concerning agricultural activities that do not attract wildlife or birds. So there seems to be an issue with the Jefferson County Code at the moment. We've been in discussions with county staff, and I've conveyed the message that this is something that they probably need to address through their periodic comprehensive plan and zoning code update, development regulations update that they initiated earlier this year. As you may know, those lands kind of in the center of the Quimper Peninsula, right on those JCIA properties, are some of the best agricultural soils in northeast Jefferson County. And, you know, provided it doesn't for their work operations, we'd obviously like to find an avenue to make better use of this property and get some return while providing some support to the local ag sector. But it looks like we have a policy and regulatory issue that we need to address at the county level first.
So what is that doing to the potential lease to the vineyard guy?
I'm still awaiting a definitive and final code interpretation from the county. The initial read is probably not absent an amendment. So it would be on hold at least until they amended their development regulations.
Amended, meaning to when the comprehensive scheme is finished next year?
When the comprehensive plan, when the county plan update. And, you know, again, I think it bears further investigation. There's an issue as to whether or not there's an inconsistency between their plan and their code. If there is a way that they could amend their code to permit agricultural uses that did not create an inconsistency with their adopted plan policy, they could do that, in fact, as a matter of law, on an accelerated timeline. I don't know that they have the resources to undertake it in a more expedited fashion than just addressing it as part of the typical review and amendment cycle.
Could we get an administrative determination as well, and seek clarification that way? That would take us out of that formal amendment process, but just get a determination.
Well, again, what we're seeking right now is a staff interpretation of their mm-hmm. code. I think you're asking for a formal code interpretation, mm-hmm.
We could do an interpretation, code interpretation, or we could do kind of the next step from that. In my mind is the determination of here's what I've interpreted, and then I'm actually determining that these uses can be legitimate.
I think we have further discussion yeah. to do on that. Right now, the purpose of the zone is aviation dependent and aviation related uses. It's quite specific in the types of uses that it outlines. It then indicates that accessory uses that are accessory and subordinate to permitted uses are also allowed. Mm-hmm. There doesn't seem to be an avenue within their current code language to permit ag uses.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah.
How about on the lease? Can we keep moving with the lease with the proviso of this code interpretation with the county?
We could, in theory, offer the kind of an extended time frame that incorporated the county's policy and regulatory amendment process as the time period for the LOI, a precondition of a long-term lease being resolution, favorable resolution of this issue. We could do that.
Yeah.
I guess we could also, there's... Again, or we could just wait until the code is amended and do it then. We can, you know.
Does it light a fire under the county a little bit more? We say, look, we've got this LOI, we're working on this, unless this is a really big deal to you guys, it would really help us along with this process if you could.
I can't answer that question except to say that they are abiding by a statutorily mandated timeline and process, and it would be very difficult to accelerate that process. And this would be one small grain in the hopper that's filled with other issues that they're addressing.
Yeah, I think the question is at what level can we get an answer? Can we get a code interpretation? Can we get an administrative determination? Or would we actually be seeking some type of code or comp plan amendment? And those progress in both degree of complexity as well as the length of time to do them. So code interpretation, you can get back pretty quickly. If you actually want somebody to make a determination, it takes a little bit longer, a little bit more work into that. And then other than that, you're either looking for comp plan, yearly comp plan amendments, which I don't think this would ever be eligible for, or what does the update look like? So I did meet, and I've known her previously, Patty Charnas, who is the new Director of Community Development for Bull County. She came to the reception on Monday night, and so she started work last week. So we'll get on each other's schedule, and this will be one of the things that we can touch base on.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's it. Just wanted to apprise you of a need to address this issue, because I think, this is a land that is lying definitely underutilized, and we have a real opportunity and are hoping to find a company.
Just that I'm continuing to work on the annual report, getting a lot closer in between operational interruptions. And of course, once I'm done with that, then I can get us caught up on our monthly financial reports that I'll provide to you, which is really important for starting the budget process. So that's where I am. And then actually in the middle of it too is time for our insurance renewals. So that's for each marina, has their own coverage and so I'm going to prepare those. And then the general liability insurance for the port itself includes going over all the assets and making sure, you know, that listing is updated. Anybody, anything that needs to be taken out or added needs to be done. I'll be doing that too. That's it.
Do you put out the figures on Morge, the year-to-date, like RV park and all that stuff?
Oh, no.
That's Tammy?
That's Harbor Master.
Tammy, we generate that. Okay. It'd be interesting to get the wait list column. I always find interesting, and it'd be interesting to know if that's going up or down over time. So, that's all.
Yeah, I thought eventually it'd be nice to have those results paired with the financial results.
Yeah.
Of course, the financial is always going to be later because it takes time to close the books, but, you know, at least a month later, because I know you can get these pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
But to have some correlation with, you know, the results of the financials in that same month, I think that would be useful.
Yeah. But what were your sales, actually? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Sue?
The Seattle Boat Show deposit is due the end of August, and the 2017 Seattle Boat Show, which is in January 27th through February 4th, and every year it's discussed whether we're going to participate.
Yeah.
Just wanted to let you know that that's coming up.
Yeah, so I've talked with staff. I feel like our presence there is... you know, brings in business for us, so it's a good return on our marketing dollars. So planning on sending them, wanted to see if you had any feedback for us before we actually send in our registration.
I think we need to continue.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Great.
So what about the fishing show? That's
Fish Expo.
Fish Expo. That's what time?
November 17th, 18th, 19th,
yeah.
Or
18th, 19th.
Is that
the one in Billingham?
No, it's in Seattle. But last year was held at the same time as our spring, our fall meeting, and we didn't have any way to go down there and like I like to spend a little bit of time down there talking to fishermen, and we didn't get to do that. So is that
well? I think the WPPA meeting has changed. I don't think it's on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that one gives us our biggest bang for the buck. It's a smaller one, costs us much less to do when you get the guys that populate our big haul out. So
we haven't been to the boat show in years. I mean, I go to Fish Expo every year. That's buy stuff that's going to buy it.
Yeah.
That'd be one to look at. Is it too late?
No, we go to it every year.
Yeah, we go to it every year.
There were just a couple of years we didn't go.
Okay. And I think we heard about it.
Yeah. And just so you know, right now I'm kind of marketing in general on a few different lines of business. I'm having somebody look at our print and web-based advertising and doing some analysis on that of what's our return on those. Haven't gotten to looking at trade shows and things yet, so just kind of going with, you know, And not that there's much analysis to be done there. I think that we can see a pretty good return on those, but continue forth with that. But I'm looking at advertising dollars and trying to make some short-term decisions on should we can continue with these advertising. That will then lead us into, you know, a greater marketing strategy as we go into next year in 2017. But just trying to make some decisions in the short term.
Great.
RV magazines, things like that. You know, do we really get a return on, you know, a fairly substantial bill for advertising in the print RV magazine? Do we really see much of a return on that? You know, as opposed to, you know, just having a better web presence or.
I handed a copy of the recent Pilot House Guide that the National. Anybody that subscribes to National Fisherman gets a Pilot House Guide for ports and businesses and contact information and what they do and whatnot. And the one for us had Ken Radon's name on there for representing our port. And it had like 12 or 15 year old rates advertised in there too. I handed that to Sue. Have you had a chance to get that updated? Remember that? The Pilot House Guide?
I don't remember right now.
Okay, I got another copy. I'll bring it in.
Bring it in, and we'll take a look at that one too.
It's the one that gets mailed out to all the commercial fishermen on the West Coast.
Oh, speaking about a date, I was looking on the docks that stick out beside, I think it was City Dock is the one, or Union, I think City Dock, because we're going to put an eelgrass buoy explanation sign up, and I was looking at all the signs, and there was one down at the end that still has you calling the city to pay for your mortgage on the tie-ups, so we should probably, I called the number that I don't recognize it, and I'm going to call
it. So the city's still collecting mortgage for it?
Well, nobody answered the phone, I don't know.
I would tell you that means I am having task staff to look at our signage needs on a number of different levels, and it kind of springs from this idea to have the entry signs of welcome to our working waterfront, but looking at other signs, including like on the fuel dock, we have signs that say, you know, register with a please check in at the mortgage office, but what if somebody comes in at night like they did recently? It's not really clear what they're due, so I've talked with Pete, our security guard, and everything from, you know, where we typically see kind of overnight campers that aren't really supposed to be overnight camping, and Pete Parrish has some good ideas of what we can put up that just say, you know, call his number or, you know, things. So we're going to come up with a schematic to do an update on some of our signage, so I'm glad to know about that one more. We'll put that on to make sure that we go down, look at the docks, and see if they're up to snuff there. And I think I think people are a little surprised sometimes when they tie up and they don't realize there's a charge.
Mm-hmm. Pat, you're here, staff?
Yes, I think I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a treat to be back, and it's astounding to see the level of excitement and energy here, and having been gone for a month, but I'd like to attribute it to my absence. I'm sure you would agree, Pete.
Can't wait to see the next 3 months.
Will you go again? But
come back at Christmas.
I'm surprised you don't have my suitcase out there in the parking lot. But it's really exciting to see Sam and to hear it all. This is really going to be an exciting summer and a very dynamic year for the port. Mm-hmm. I feel that, you know, intently. So that's about it for right now, until I leave again.
Correlation isn't necessarily causation, but give it a try.
I will. We're going to have an executive session in just a couple minutes.
Public comments. More public comments? Going? Moving on. Commissioner comments?
You go first.
Okay, well, and since the last meeting, I went to two of my committee meetings. One of them was the NODC, North Olympic Development Committee. And we're doing our SEDS, which is the document you have to do to get your funding. And so it's kind of a boring thing, but it was interesting because at the end of the meeting, we were talking, Kate was talking about all of the work that she's been doing, getting funding for the Chinookan Corner. She got commercial kitchen going, they just got all sorts of projects going out there, and they've been getting funding from all these different places. And at the end, Mark Osias, who's the Clallam County Commissioner, said, how do we get in on that? And in other words, the point is that Chimicken Corners has been garnering a lot of attention and a lot of activity, and it's just a hub. I was going across the bridge the other day when it was stuck open, so I couldn't go. So I went back and I wandered around there, and it's amazing what's going on over there at that place. It's really vibrant. And it's also doing a lot of stuff, and that's why. It's got activity, it's got infusion of money, and I think it's something that I would like to offer our port's assistance to partner with helping that thing go forward. I'm not sure what that means right now, but a lot of times all you need to do is to lend your support for this thing being something that should be work. Another meeting I went to was the meeting we had on ocean acidification. It was held at the Maritime Center. It was a bunch of people that were talking about what, you know, ocean acidification is such a huge problem, like climate change. there's nothing I can do. I'm just a little cog in the wheel, but there actually is. And we were talking about, we had a scientist talk about the main causes, and we had people talking about health, potential helps. Anyway, the takeaway that I wanted to bring to you guys is that kelp has been determined to be one of the greatest things for removing carbon dioxide out of the water, seawater, which excess carbon dioxide forms carbonic acid, which is the thing that's killing all the small oysters and stuff. And so that's, again, seems a big thing, you know, kelp. How do we raise kelp? Well, there's a group of people that are trying to figure out a way to raise kelp in a raft. Like you'd see a net pen where everything's below the water. Well, there's a raft that has lines stretched across that are seeded with kelp, and then they just float them, and kelp grows, and they can measure the amount of oxygen that's put back into the water and the amount of carbon dioxide that's sucked out of the water. And it was really exciting because it's a thing that we can do instead of just all wring your hands and hope it goes away. And the people that are looking for it are doing it and have all the permits for doing one of these rafts except for one, and that's from the shorelines in Jefferson County. And let's see, I think Steve Thuringer was there. Of course, he's not in Jefferson County, but he's sitting right next to David Sullivan, who this question was directed at. David didn't say anything. But they're looking for some ways to get a permit to have one of those rafts, just for study, not for commercial purposes, but just to do scientific research on here in Jefferson County. And they're looking for a location and for some political expediency from the permitting people. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we have an interesting situation in Quilcene because Coast Seafoods has been there for a really long time, and so they have some historical data on acidity and oxygenation and temperatures and all this stuff. And there's also a group down there that are quite active in saying we want to clean up the bay, and of course that's what this would do. This would be basically using kelp to clean it up, to put more oxygen in. So I was thinking it'd be useful to perhaps suggest that location, and then to perhaps suggest to the county commissioners, if you ever bump into them, which we often do, that it might be a useful thing to help that permit go through.
Mm-hmm. I was going to, if I might mention that, I will be attending the workshop that the NOCD is DC.
NODC.
NODC, thank you. New as well, that came out.
Or you're going to go to the Chimican one.
The Chimican mm-hmm. one next Monday evening.
Good.
And it is funded by, I believe, a combination of National Endowment for the Arts as well as Historic Preservation Society, I think, is the funding source. But they basically have a team that comes in and helps rural communities look at community development projects that are very specific, very focused, and they have a kind of a protocol that they go through to do asset inventory, look at what you have, do some visioning, what can you be, and then they help with that planning process. So there's only, I think, less than 20 in the nation that have been done thus far. It's pretty competitive to get into this. Hats off to Kate Dean for getting that, and I think it can really help give some additional momentum to an area that already has a lot of energy around it. I think that, as I second what Steve is saying, there's a lot of energy and excitement out there.
That's all I have.
So Sam and I went and met with Betsy Davis and Sean Kuhn over at the Boat School last week, took a little tour and looked at their new strategic plan, which is very well done. They've got some really interesting ideas that they may be coming to us in the future for some sort of a partnership relationship, if you will, whether it be leasing area or expanding some of their capabilities, including metal boat building and so on, to be another source for, you know, what we're trying to do here. So that's pretty good, pretty informative. Also, there's something on that involves the Boat School that I think perhaps should be on number 3 of this list here, and that's the piling and securing our dock there next to the Boat School. They're rotten and in pretty bad shape. and it is a liability for us in the event they fail in a winter storm. A lot of people have got their dinghies tied to it. You know, you just imagine what a mess that would be. At any rate, we didn't really just, you know, discuss about the port property there with Bates D. Davis, but they are aware of it. It's on their radar screen about, because one of the things in their long-term plan is to build a new dock, and perhaps it's something that we could work with them on that would maybe answer some of our problems in dealing with the dock that we have there now.
Do they have some of the space down on the waterfront too?
They do.
Just adjacent to us.
Right.
And then Lola's just beyond them.
Right. Okay. So they haven't even started that process, you know, permitting or anything like that, but I just thought maybe it would be good if we at some point reached out to them, you know, if we, whatever it is we're going to do with that property, you know, if there was some, you know, some answer we come up with, it's not going to be, because again, it's a liability for us right now, the way it is.
Well, so how did they launch the boat so they built it? Wouldn't go school? It's a boat
ramp. On our boat ramp.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting. When we had that commercial tribal opening here, this place was just jam-packed full, and I thought, I'm going to another place. So I went out there, and I looked, and it was just full of Indian trappers. I mean, there was 15 cars. I don't know how they did it, but there's 15 cars.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
And they were using that sanded old ramp, and there was crab pots all up and down the beach, and just activity like I'd never seen before. Oh. And I thought to myself, in the past I thought that that was kind of a lost cause because there's no parking, but they carved it out somewhere. And, you know, we had, just as a little historical perspective, we actually had an RCO grant to fully fund a new state-of-the-art ramp that would go over the sand so that it wouldn't have the sanding cape problems. But we have, the thing that stopped this was the county decided to, I'm not really sure what they did, but they made the way for the boat school to go up where we were going to park the cars. And so that made it so the RCO funds couldn't go through because there wasn't sufficient parking for it. But if we could somehow identify some parking, that, I think, when I saw the activity down there, that could again be a really vibrant place. But, you know, right now the boat ramp's a liability where it should be an asset.
So anyway, I really don't have any suggestions on timeline or anything to move this forward, but future discussions about that area, I think we should, it would be good to you know, have some more conversations with Bessie and their board about that.
Just so that you know, that area is also being considered for, there's a lot of, all the runoff that comes off of Kibler Center on the parking lot up there. Runs down a big ditch, there's a nice little bridge to go over and dumps right down into that wetland that's just on the other side of the road in a lagoon. And there's been some people eyeing, trying to figure out a place to put a rain garden out there to treat it, because right now it's just oil from the asphalt right on into the wetland. And so I was on a siting committee, and that's going to be one that takes more time. But in other words, there's going to be some land that's going to be probably taken away to make the actual rain garden. So that's something we should keep in mind when we start considering what's going to be going on down there. I don't think it'd be Portland, but it still it takes away from spaces.
Other than that, I just have my twice monthly question about what's going on with the NOAA ship out there.
The port has assumed custody pending the lapse of an appeal period on August 4th to the Pollution Control Hearings Board. After that point onward, there will be no cloud whatever, and it will unequivocally be the port's vessel. They are the appeal body for the exercise of authority over derelict and abandoned vessels under 79-100 RCW. So we are seeking to locate interested purchasers, with the idea being that any purchase would be contingent on removal of the vessel from port property and on the lapse of the appeal period without an appeal having been filed.
Do we have any advertising, like in National Fisherman, or?
We haven't gone there yet. We have several leads of people who have previously expressed interest in the vessel that we're following up on.
before. Why don't we do that? Let's put an ad in. I mean, we can afford an ad. Just say, hey, we got a vote for luck.
So does anybody talk to Brandy? Remember Brandy, I can't remember his last name, the fellow who lives up there, Laura Hadlock. He's a, he got rid of some of our boats for us in the upland storage because he's a boat broker. And
The answer is that I haven't. Again, I will just reiterate, there has been considerable local interest in the vessel. I've fielded a number of calls. We are in the place now where we're going to be getting back to those folks and seeing whether they want to take the vessel away. I think part of the reason that the registered owner had difficulty in removing it in a timely fashion was that he had a number of people who were interested in purchasing the vessel, but only with the expectation that it would be hauled out and refitted here. And it's clearly beyond the capacity of our 300-ton lift, at least without stripping it. And even then, we don't know that it would be within the limits of our equipment. So once it was made plain to those individuals that haul out here was not on the cards, interest in the vessel seemed to diminish considerably. But we still have a number of leads that we need to follow up on. But everything, again, is contingent on this August 4 appeal period.
So is there anything, any lessons we can learn about how to keep things like this? I mean, this boat obviously would never come in here. Whoever hauled it here, well, I think we know who it is, should have some liability or responsibility for doing something that's going to end us potentially holding the bag for a disposal bill of a boat.
So when Vessel Assist towed this thing in here, did they have permission from port staff to tie it up here?
My understanding is that when the vessel arrived, well, first I should rewind and say that the registered owner of the vessel had indicated to Vessel Assist that he had a scheduled haul out at the Boat Haven facility. The vessel was brought from Lake Union here without having such arrangements having been made. So essentially, there was a misrepresentation to
Vessel Assist by the owner.
And and yard staff attempted to haul the vessel, had it in the slings with, you know, a considerable way to go. I think there were probably, you know, 3-4 feet of the bow more or more that were in the water, and it was at 300. And so, and the I think there was an issue not only with concern over the port's equipment, but also damaging the vessel as well. So it was put back in the water and attempts made repeatedly to contact the owner. And it's been at Linear Dock now, I think, since mid-February. And we are taking making every effort to resolve this situation as rapidly as we can.
And in addition to that, are there lessons to be learned here? Absolutely. And one of them is that we need to clarification of some policies and then some operations issues as to in order to try to prevent a situation like this in the future. And so we're kind of looking at that. We will definitely be doing a postmortem on this, making sure that we can see what our legal obligations are. I think that in my limited understanding of maritime law, this boat was not adrift. This was not a safe harbor issue. It was towed here without benefit of power. And I think that we can try to make sure there's a couple checks along the way, for example, to make sure that whoever is towing, that they actually have confirmation that we're scheduled for a haul out. That it's not just the owner giving them assurances, and that we are making sure that, you know, they're scheduled with us, that we have notice, and seeing, you know, how we can build up checks in there along the way. I'm also really kind of scratching my head going, how did we end up with this bill? And so we're following up on that. I don't have an answer for you at this point. We'll continue to do our due diligence on it. And yes, it will both result in a change of operations and proposed change in policy, as well as to, is there any chance for damages for us in here? I don't know the answer to either of those questions at this point, but we hope not to be left holding the bag this way again.
I've been hauling boats out here for about 20 years, and I've never once been handed a form. You know, I signed a haul-out agreement, but I've never been once been handed a questionnaire form that I was required to fill out for, like, what's your work plan?
Mm-hmm.
What's, you know, ask some, you know, pertinent questions that, you know, they have to, you know, somehow establish, you know, what it is, how major is the work, and, you know, what, you know, details about the boat and so on, other than just the length. And have you ever...
Just a really brief observation, two observations. Number one, that is in the port rules and regulations, the requirement to submit a work plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's clearly something where we need to do some work to implement more effectively our own adopted rules. With respect to this particular instance, I would only offer the observation that what yard staff has indicated is that this is something of a one-off, and that the most straightforward way to address this is to have a heart-to-heart with Vessel Assist about ensuring that in future representations by vessel owners are confirmed with yard staff, A, that there is a haul-out agreement that has been completed and a haul-out schedule, and B, that it is within the capabilities of the port's 300-ton lift.
Well, I think we're on meeting 8 now of this subject, and the commission has kindly asked for staff to talk to Vessel Assist, mm-hmm. and that has not happened yet.
Yeah.
So I think all three of us are diligently saying, talk to Vessel Assist.
It actually has, but it's been yard manager Terry Kyle that had that conversation. It's true that we have not.
And I just, you know, I, as a commissioner, refuse to allow them to use this facility simply because it's convenient. And, you know, if they want to put up a bond, maybe we should talk to them about putting a bond to use a facility like this.
Okay. I'll make sure that gets scheduled. I'll be able to report back to you in that meeting by our next commission meeting.
Okay.
That's
it for me.
So mine is, I'm going to do a couple workshops South Sound, one in Brandon, one in Quilisi, mm-hmm. over the next month. And it made me think we ought to do a meeting down there. What do you guys think of that?
Sure.
Okay. And so then I was just kind of creating this as we talked. You know, this workshop session, do we want to try and do it somewhere like the second meeting in August, that evening meeting? Do we all want to drive down there for an evening meeting? Do we want to do it during the day? Do we want to do it
the 24th?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one the 24th or there's September 7th. Either one would probably be.
Either way, I'm fine with me.
Okay.
The one problem with Quilisi on a Wednesday was that was their food bank day, so we can use the community center. And the restaurant, I'd have to check if you wanted to do it in Quilisi.
On a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would they be closed in time for us to do a night session?
No, they don't need to close. We take a separate room in there.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
But do they do like food bank at 5:30, yeah. like when we normally
yeah,
do our...
Yeah, I'll check on that.
Well, what about the yacht club?
And then they have an exercise class, I think, after that. I don't know about the yacht club.
Yeah, yacht club would be a good idea.
I think they have a bar there, too. Yeah, they do.
For some reason, Larry didn't think the yacht club worked. I never attended a meeting down there.
The meeting was all right.
You ever been in it?
Yeah.
Is it big enough?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of Coast Seafoods has a meeting room that I've been in upstairs too. Definitely not be accessible. I know that.
I'll shop around.
Yeah.
So Quilisi then, or not Brennan?
Just quilting. Let's just do quilting. Okay. But let's do it like somewhere in that time frame.
Exactly.
Maybe come back to us next second meeting. That'd be cool.
Great.
That's all I got. Next public workshop regular meeting is Wednesday, July 27th at 3 p.m. Oh yeah, we're doing a workshop that day too. Mm-hmm. So there's a workshop at 3 and the meeting's at 5:30 here. And if there's no other business, we will now adjourn into executive session.
But for, I'm going to say 10 minutes. You want to go that long? Okay, 10 minutes.
Yeah,
10 minutes.
Fine, 10 minutes. Thank you.
But don't start the 10-minute clock yet till the room.
Okay.